The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 4, Texts Number 15, 16, and 17, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on November 13th, 2011, in Punjabi Bagh, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to read texts 15 and 16, and then we will do responsive chanting on text number 17. Alang dad hira drimaira dina kilanang shiva mastuva varkshi hyesha varakanya panitve patigriyatam. There is no need to burn these poor trees any longer. Let whatever trees still remain be happy. Indeed, you should also be happy. Now here is a beautiful, well-qualified girl named Marisha, who was raised by the trees as their daughter. You may accept this beautiful girl as your wife. Text number 16. Itya mantra vararohang kanyamapsarasim nripa. Somaraja yayao dattva te dharmeno payemire. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after thus pacifying the Prajetas, Soma, the king of the moon, gave them the beautiful girl born of the Pramlocha Apsara. The Prajetas all received Pramlocha's daughter, who had very high, beautiful hips, and married her according to the religious system. Text 17. Tebhya tasyam samabhavat daksha pratetasa kila yasya praja visargena loka aparita traya. Te vyastas yang samabhavad daksha pracheta sakila yasha praja visargena loka apuritastraya te vyastas yang samabhavad daksha pracheta sakila yasha praja visargena loka aparitastraya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the womb of that girl, the prachetas all begot a son named Daksha, who filled the three worlds with living entities. Purport. Daksha was the firstborn during the reign of Svayambhuva Manu. But because of offending Lord Shiva, he was punished by having the head of a goat substituted for his own head. Thus insulted, he had to give up that body. And in the sixth manvantara, called the Chakshusha manvantara, he was born of the womb of Marisha as Daksha. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura quotes this verse, Chakshushe tvantare prapte praksarge kala vidrute yasa saraga praja ishta sadaksho daiva chodita. His previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the supreme will, created all the desired living entities in the Chakshusha Manvantara, Bhagavatam 4:30-49. Thus, Daksha regained his previous opulence and again begot thousands and millions of children to fill the three worlds. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Vada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadai Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, what is the first lesson to be derived from this purport? What happened to Daksha? He offended the greatest Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. And because of that offense, he had to have the head of a goat. So what is this telling us? Do not offend a Vaishnava. Otherwise, you may get the head of a goat. So, who is our topmost Vaishnava? His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So, we must be very, very careful in our society as we are predicted to go on for 10,000 years. We must be very, very, very careful not to offend Srila Prabhupada. So, we may bow down and offer the arati. That is very good. We must continue doing that with great love and devotion. But the most important thing is that we must have full faith and full obedience to Srila Prabhupada. There is a saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. That is a great danger for our society. When Srila Prabhupada was here, he could chastise us. This is wrong thing. Just like back in 1970, Prabhupada gave four men sannyas order. And then he went to India. Or he came to India. Speaking from India. He came to India then. So these four sannyasis, they were very fired up. They got this strange idea, this Mayavad idea, that Srila Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were propagating it like anything. And it was a great turmoil in our society. Prabhupada was in India, and these were the leading preachers, the sannyasis. And they were saying that Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You must accept it or you should leave ISKCON. Back in those days, we didn't have any Mayapur and Vrindavan festivals. We just had a big festival every year in New Vrindavan. So all the devotees would come for a big festival around Janmashtami time at New Vrindavan. And these sannyasis also came, and they were saying that Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was very confusing. Everyone was just in their 20s. We were all young kids who just joined the movement. And, you know, to 1970, I mean, the oldest devotees had been devotees for 4 years. That's a... So it was very confusing for the devotees. The sannyasis had all these powerful arguments, but it just didn't sound right to the devotees. This doesn't sound right. This is not what Prabhupada had taught us. So they wrote Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back, he said, they're not allowed to go to any ISKCON temple, these sannyasis. Prabhupada had to ban them from all the ISKCON temples. They were so polluted by this Mayavadi philosophy. He did not reject them as disciples, but he banned them from the preaching to the devotees. They were rectified. They understood their mistake, and Prabhupada gave them an order. Each one of them had to open 10 temples. And then they could come back. That was their penance for their aparad. So they came back and became very... They were fully rectified because Prabhupada was there to personally correct them for their mistake. But what will we do now if some devotees introduce philosophical discrepancies? What will we do when Prabhupada isn't here as the referee? How will we rectify it? I'm not asking. Prabhupada has given the GBC to arbitrate, to be the watchdog for these things. You see, and the GBC is there to represent Prabhupada. This is why we have to accept the authority of the GBC. You see. If someone says, well, the GBC have their opinion, someone else has their opinion, that means they're rejecting Prabhupada's instructions. So we have to be very much learned in Prabhupada's books. We have to know what Prabhupada is saying. Therefore, this Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Sarvabhava, Bhakti Vedanta degrees are very important thing. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport, every one of my disciples must read all of my books or they will fall down. That instruction applies to everyone. Because a grand disciple is also a disciple. He's a different disciple is a disciple, a grand disciple is a disciple, the great grand disciple is the disciple. For the next 10,000 years, we are all Prabhupada's disciples. We have to understand Prabhupada's unique position. He was directly sent by Krishna from the spiritual sky here to give us these Bhaktivedanta purports. No Vaishnava Acharya has ever had the Shakti to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. We have to understand Prabhupada's preeminent position as the greatest Vaishnava Acharya. Not that he's Krishna, but that he's the greatest Vaishnava Acharya. Whatever instructions he has given, that is the proper understanding of Siddhanta. If someone has a different opinion other than Prabhupada's, we reject that other opinion. Prabhupada emphasized the importance of sadhana bhakti. If someone says, oh, this sadhana, it's an impediment for Krishna consciousness. You see, this sadhana is in the way. You just go to, just jump into Raganuga. You don't need sadhana. It's a little warning, a little red light should go on. This is devious philosophy someone is preaching. Sadhana bhakti is very, very important. Rupa Goswami has described the stages of bhakti. Adashradha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato narta nirvittishat tato nishtha vijistataha atasaktis tato bhavas tata prema bhyujantati sadaka namyang prema sadur pradur bhave bhavet kramaha. In the beginning, there must be faith. Then one associates with pure devotees. Thereafter, one takes initiation from the bona fide spiritual master and follows the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti under his orders. Thus, one becomes free from all bad habits and becomes nishtha, solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then when you are fixed up, what comes next? Ruchi. Very, very sweet taste. Like popping a glob jamun at every minute. And then, when you're relishing that sweet taste, what is the natural thing? How many of you are attached to glob jamuns? You become attached. It's so sweet, you become very, very attached to Krishna. Everything about Krishna. His name. That's Nama Ruchi. His fame, Kirti Ruchi. You see? His form, Rupa Ruchi. His Leela Ruchi. Everything, Ruchi Ruchi. Everything becomes attractive, you see. His teachings, everything about Krishna, you see. You become very, very attached. That is the, in this point, that's where sadhana bhakti will take you all the way to the asakti stage, you see. And then beyond that, you go to bhava and prem. Now, if somebody who has not even passed through anarjana vritti, they haven't even given up all the dirt in the heart, and they want to jump to sadhana bhakti, what is that called? Sahajiya. One who takes it very cheaply, you see. He wants to get a PhD degree after attending 3 lectures. He doesn't want to do all the work required to get his PhD degree, you see. Very cheaply he wants his PhD degree. He wants to be accepted as a great Vaishnava Acharya. But yet he has not even cleaned all the dirt out of his heart yet. This tendency, Prabhupada noted when he was on this planet, this sahaja tendency. In Los Angeles, there was a big controversy. It was called the Gopi Bhava Club. There was a group of devotees who got together to talk about Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes of kissing, embracing, you see. They wanted to be gopis immediately. For them, Mangalarti was not cool. Tulsi worship was good, you see. In Tulsi worship, we pray to become a gopi in our next life, you see. Tulsi worship is very good. But Mangalarti, no, that's sadhana. It's too low level, you see. So note in our morning program, which comes first, Tulsi worship or Mangalarti, you see. If you want to come to the point of entering into Vraj Leela, which is the goal, ultimate goal, you must proceed carefully, step by step by step, as given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. If you try to artificially bypass the steps, you will fall down. You might get a goat head. So we have to watch out for these philosophical controversies. Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed by this Gopi Bhava Club. He chastised these devotees like anything. He completely disbanded their club, you see. He said they would ruin everything what they were doing. They were saying, but Prabhupada, we desire this. This is the highest thing. You mention it in your books, and we desire this. We desire this Gopi Bhava, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. So one must proceed carefully, step by step. Have faith in the process. Associate with pure devotees. Who are the pure devotees? Those who are strictly following Prabhupada, they are pure devotees. They may be immature, but still, if they are strictly following Prabhupada, they are pure devotees. And then take diksha from the bona fide spiritual master. Follow the rules and regulations very carefully. No illicit sex. I heard there's a philosophy going around our movement now that if you're married, it's okay to have illicit sex to save your marriage from breaking up. The idea being that you need illicit sex will hold your marriage together. Actually, last night, one Manaji was telling my wife that this is our philosophy, and this is commonly understood amongst the devotees, that you have to have illicit sex if necessary to keep your marriage together. She said, everyone says this. It's commonly understood amongst the householders in ISKCON. That's what this lady said. That is a philosophical discrepancy. Krishna consciousness is what will make your marriage perfect. Deviating from the principles of Krishna consciousness will pollute your marriage and make it imperfect. Dharmapatni means a religious wife. And the husband would be Dharmapati. Yeah, Dharmapati is religious husband. So, religious means following the principles. If the husband and wife are having illicit sex, then it's not Dharma Patni and Dharma Pati. It's Adharma Patni and Adharma Pati. Those who cannot follow this principle are welcome to be our members. Yeah. They are welcome to be members of ISKCON. We're everyone's welcome. We understand that not everyone can follow these principles immediately. We understand that. But there is a dividing line. And that is called diksha. Now you're committed. No more adharma within married life. Now it is strict dharma. No illicit sex. But they say, how will I show my wife I love her unless I have illicit sex with her? That's how you will show your wife you love her, by not having illicit sex with your wife. That's how you show your wife you love her. Now the brahmacharis don't need to hear all this, but it's good for them because they may preach to householders also. We have to keep this movement pure as Prabhupada has given it to us. Ten thousand years is a long time. So many deviations can creep into this movement. Therefore, we have to read the purports very carefully. We have to hear and take advantage of the Prabhupada disciples who are still with us on this planet now. Who are able to understand the mood of Prabhupada because they could see Prabhupada, they could talk to Prabhupada, they could be personally instructed and chastised by Prabhupada. They understand the mood of Prabhupada. Regularly now, the Prabhupada disciples are leaving this planet. We regularly get news, this Prabhupada disciple has left, that Prabhupada disciple has left.
तो हम अक्सर जो ऐसा समाचार दुष्ट समाचार सुनते हैं कि आज ये श्री प्रभुपाद के
So whatever Prabhupada disciples are present, we must take full advantage of their association. And learn from them what is the mood of Prabhupada. How to properly practice the science of Krishna consciousness. So now I can ask if there's any questions. My wife has raised her hand first. Huh? That's a very good point. Sometimes, actually, there was a Prabhupada disciple who was preaching Sahaja philosophy recently. That's why we have to read the books, because if a Prabhupada disciple is preaching bogus philosophy, we have to reject what he's saying. Even though we want to respect him, he is Prabhupada's disciple, still, if he is preaching against Prabhupada's teachings, we have to reject what he is saying. Just like we had to reject the bogus Mayavadi philosophy of these four sannyasis, even though they were Prabhupada disciples, in the same way, if any Prabhupada disciple preaches against what's in Prabhupada's books, we have to reject what he's saying and not be sentimental about it. That's why you have to know these books. Every one of you must know these books inside and out, backwards and forward. Don't be lazy in studying Prabhupada's books. Everyone should get all the Prabhupada books and read all the Prabhupada's books. Any more questions? Yes.
My question is, what about contemporary proper disciples, books by proper disciples?
Be careful. What about books by proper disciples? Be careful. One godbrother was going to write a book with bogus philosophy. The GBC had to tell him, you write that book, we're going to ban you from Vrindavan. You publish that book, we're banning you from Vrindavan. It was so bogus. Be careful of even books. You have to be very careful. That's why I tell my disciples, your first duty is to read all of Prabhupada's books. There are mistakes in these other books. There are mistakes in these other books. One godbrother, he wrote one book, and he meant something about me, completely false information he wrote about me in that book. I know they're making mistakes in these books. He said, before I became a devotee, I was wearing leather pants. I never wore leather pants in my whole life. And this is my godbrother has written a book in which he says, I was wearing leather pants before I joined the movement. So there are mistakes in these books. I see the devotees, they write books, there are mistakes in these books. Therefore, if you want to be safe, base your full understanding on what you read in Prabhupada's books, then you'll be safe. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. First, I want to thank you for a super excellent class. Good job. It's very refreshing for me to hear such strong preaching. Because in what we could call modern ISKCON, this kind of strong preaching, actually, it's often not popular. It's not popular. You know, now in modern ISKCON, we find Vox Populi. We find ever increasing pressure from the masses of neophytes in ISKCON to determine
what the standard is, yeah.
Because they're not surrendering to Prabhupada's bani and they're not reading Prabhupada's books. Adequately, some are reading, but they're not adequately reading Prabhupada's books. Thus, they're demanding to make their own conceptions, as you pointed out. This is becoming very wide, not just a little bit, very
widespread.
Sometimes it's a lonely cause. It's a lonely cause because we are rather alone in this campaign to preserve the integrity of Prabhupada's teachings. As the compromises get worse and worse, it's a very lonely cause.
But Maharaj, I'm not lonely because I have you. I wanted to say, this is the very first devotee that preached to me back in 1969. It was so wonderful. His name then was Makanlal Das Brahmachari, and I was a hippie in Berkeley, California, and he preached to me. One day he said, I want you to come to the San Francisco temple with me. He took me to the temple. I spent the night at the San Francisco temple. You remember taking me to the temple?
Not exactly. I remember you, you were in Berkeley, weren't you?
Yeah.
Telegraph Avenue.
I was a campus minstrel with guitar and long hair and a big beard. Yeah. You don't remember? Yeah, I remember him distinctly, Mukhanlal Das Brahmachari. He was so kind to me. He took me to the temple. He invited me to hear Prabhupada, and he came to that one time to Berkeley. I was so such a Mayavadi, I wouldn't go because I didn't want the Swami to pop my little I am God bubble. But he invited me to the first invitation I had to see Prabhupada was from Mukhanlal. Now he's Madhurya Govindam, Bhakti Madhurya Govindam. He's very dear to my heart. He was the very first devotee he preached to me.
Regarding Prabhupada disciples writing books, I would, if they write something that's a deviation from Prabhupada's teaching, then they're not a disciple. I'm sorry to sound so
that's right.
Harsh.
That's right.
But I have a rock solid foundation for making that radical statement. Translate.
महाराज बता रहे कि अगर कोई प्रबल शिष्य जो है ऐसी पुस्तक लिख रहे जिसके अंदर प्रबल का सिद्धांत जो है वो काट कटता है तो वो शिष्य प्रबल शिष्य नहीं.
Because I was on morning walk with Prabhupada in Detroit, must have been 1975.
1975 के आसपास जो है महाराज बता रहे कि मैं श्री प्रबल के साथ एक दिन मॉर्निंग वॉक पे गया था डिट्रॉइट में.
And I have been reading the third canto says devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature. At that time it was third canto part four. I don't know if it's still part four, but it was third canto part four. So I have, but yet I asked the problem. Devotional service is described as all throughout the Shastra, especially Bhagavad Gita, as having nothing to do with the laws of material nature. But here we find a whole chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describing devotional service mixed with the laws of material nature. So as far as devotional service mixed with the material nature is concerned, I ask, does that apply to your disciples? It was very specific. Does that apply to your disciples? Then Srila Prabhupada dropped a landmine, you know, He dropped a landmine in my face. In my face he dropped. Boom! You know, like if a bomb it drops, goes off about 2 feet away from you, then you know, like a knocked over, you know, like that was his reply.
Is it if they're not? But his point was, they're not my disciples if they're not. But it was his point.
Oh yes, you know about that conversation. Yeah.
What did he say?
He said specifically, it depends who you consider to be my disciple.
ये इसके निर्भर करता है कि आप किसको मेरा शिष्य मानते हो।
I was stunned because we were sentimental, isn't it? And we thought if you sat down in front of Prabhupada, received the beads from him, sacred fire, all the devotees saying jai, we thought that everyone that did that was automatically a disciple. You know, that was the common sentimental conception.
So with this bomb blast, Prabhupada
dismantled that conception completely. The sentimental conception that everyone that takes initiation is a disciple, Prabhupada, obviously this is decades later, Prabhupada permanently dismantled the conception that everyone takes initiation is automatically a disciple. And now I'm repeating that to the newer devotees because of the crisis that's going on of so many tens of thousands of insincere followers around the world who are killing their guru and don't know it because they're deviating from sadhana. And they're killing their guru and they just sing jai, and still they sing jai guru dik. You know, but by deviating from sadhana, they're killing their guru. This has to be preached far and wide. Otherwise, our godbrothers who are Diksha Gurins, they're going to die faster. We see that their health is failing. Why? Because of rascal initiates who are not disciples. That's why.
In this connection, I mean, Prabhupada personally wrote me, he said, disciple means discipline.
Yes.
So one who is not disciplining himself under the orders of his spiritual master, he is not disciple. That's a bit. Anyone else have a question? Very nice points. Thank you, Maharaj.
One thing is that, as you pointed out, the current paradigm in ISKCON, not just ISKCON, but let's say amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas in general, that for householders, unrestricted sex is more or less a requirement at this point. That this has become a modern philosophy, that unrestricted sex is a requirement for householders to have a healthy marriage. You made this point that this is a current growing philosophy. And amongst that, there wouldn't be just Vedas, it would be all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
आज आधुनिक गौड़ीय वैष्णव समाज में पूरे गौड़ीय वैष्णव समाज में एक विचारधारा जो उठा रही है कि जो विवाहित जो दंपतियां हैं वो समझते हैं कि जो है विवाह को बचाए रखने के लिए यौन संबंध चाहे वो जायज हो चाहे नाजायज हो रखना बहुत जरूरी है.
So I'd like to ask now if anyone has questions more.
This is a very sensitive point. One of the things that this issue points to is the fact that our movement has not established Varnashram Dharma. This is one thing, because the level of sense control of which you're speaking and the level of sense control which Prabhupada is requesting of all his followers, that is the program for those that are genuine brahmanas.
ये जो इस तरीके से
those who are genuine brahmanas, they will control their senses. Those who are less than brahmana, they're not going to, if they're a householder, they may be a householder, but those that are less than brahmana, whether they have a string or not, they're not going to control their senses in their private life.
तो अगर अगर वो ब्राह्मण जो है ब्राह्मण का जो नहीं है तो वो जो है अपने आप को इस तरीके से
This is one reason, for example, why in the city of Mayapur, the master plan will call for brahmanas, grihasthas living in one area, vaishyas another area, kshatriyas another area, and sudras another area. Mm-hmm. But at least of the three upper divisions, they may be initiated. But those who cannot follow Brahmanical standard, then they will have to be separated out. That is the plan, that's the master plan to establish Varnashram Dharma.
Varnashram is the system of Varnashram Dharma. We ask that the Sajna Brahman is the one who is the one, the Kshatriya is the one, the Vaishya is the one, and the Shudra is the one.
Of course, Prabhupada wanted to establish Brahmanas. He wanted to make Brahmanas.
Yeah.
It's understood that in Chicago, I don't know, maybe you were there, in Chicago, Illinois, 1975, mm-hmm. Prabhupada was talking with reporters, you know, and because his theme was how everyone is 10th class men these days, 10th class.
बाबा जो है 1975 में शिकागो इलिनॉय में संवाददाताओं से बात कर रहे थे और उनको बता रहे थे किस तरीके से आज जो है समाज में जो लोग हैं उनकी पर्याप्त है उसकी तीसरी चौथी पांचवी छठी सातवीं आठवीं नौवीं दसवें दर्जे की.
So that time Prabhupada said, at least I have created third class men. That was an upgrade from below sutra, and these third meaning those who did not have complete sense control, but we're following Gaudiya teachings up to a point, but were unable to surrender to the strict Brahmanical standard that he ordered. And by 1975, it was very clear that, hard to say what percentage was actually following, but those that were amongst householders, only a very small percentage were following.
1975 तक जो है बाबा के बाद समझ आ गए थी कि बहुत कम ही गृहस्थ भक्त जो है उसने बाबा के आज्ञाओं का पूरी तरीके से पालन कर
रहे. This is why Prabhupada would say at least I've created third class man, which is an upgrade from the tenth class non-devotees, you see.
बाबा ने बोला कि ठीक है लोग दसवें दर्जे के कम से कम मेहनत तीसरे दर्जे तक पहुंचाए लोगों.
So in what sense, but whether they want are going to be a Brahman or not, that's the bottom line. A Brahman has sense control, a non-Brahman doesn't. That's the bottom line. And Prabhupada and gurus, successor gurus of ISKCON, want Brahmanas. That's a priority. But those who cannot have sense control, then they're not Brahman. Not like that.
So, the Brahman is the one who has to control the Brahman. So, he doesn't do it.
the household life is a dispensation for those, to stop illicit sex outside of marriage. So those who cannot control their senses within household or life, at least the objective is that they not go outside. You know, because that's made clear in the story of Kasyapa, Muni, and Diti. You know, in that story, it is very clear. In the
it world. Produced a demon.
Huh? No, of Kasyapa.
Oh, I'm thinking of
Kasyapa. Because she lost control of her senses, therefore the sons were demons. Yes, but the point is that there, in the purports, if you read in those purports, there is that discussion about by Prabhupada on the subject of householders. And Prabhupada knew perfectly well that not all the householders were going to be able to control their senses. But he didn't stop the initiations, even though he knew that perhaps less than 1% were going to be genuine Brahmins. But he proceeded with a push anyways, in order to try to get that, the cream, who could be. You understand what I'm saying?
If you meant, but should they be given the second initiation? Someone who cannot... The point is, if somebody cannot commit themselves to this principle of no illicit sex, should they be initiated or not? That's the question. Should they be given... Should we say up front, well, you don't have to strictly follow this rule and we'll still initiate you? Should we say that up front?
Well...
Not really necessary. It's recommended that you do this, but we...
All the four regulative principles.
Huh?
They probably should not take initiation if they can control their senses, but this raises a real crisis in terms of the total number of devotees that in the world that would be eligible for initiation. You know,
well, I've seen in places where they actually have it written in the documents for initiation requirements that they're allowed. It's written. It's actually documented that this allowance is there. Are you willing to at least restrict your sex somewhat? And then they're allowed. They're given diksha, even though they're not committing themselves to following the principle. Is a question. Okay.
But that's in Hindi.
Well, when it's said, if you give somebody an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah. I mean, it's understood that not everybody follows the principles, but we shouldn't say, okay, now the principle is you don't have to follow the principles. You see what I'm saying? Not everybody can follow the principles, and we don't reject them from our society. But there has to be a distinction, as you mentioned, between those who are strictly following and those who cannot follow. There has to be a distinction.
The people point is that if they feel that it's very free, they won't even try to control the senses.
Huh?
If they feel it's a very free policy, they won't even try to control the senses. There'll be no motive. And then the guru says...
It depends on how it's presented. You see, if they're taught properly, they'll become very inspired to come to this standard. You see, if it's a matter of proper training, Maharaj.
Yes.
If they see exemplary householders who strictly follow this principle, who are relishing the sweetest nectar of loving relationship between husband and wife based on this principle of strictly avoiding illicit sex, they'll be inspired to come to the same standard. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we shouldn't lower the standard. Should keep the standard that Prabhupada gave, and not that we reject people if they having difficulty, but we have to understand it's difficulty. It's abnormal for a Brahmin to violate these principles. It's abnormal. It's an abnormality. It's a spiritual weakness. So devotees have to be encouraged that this is, you may be falling down and breaking the principles. You're still welcome to we still love you and we care about you and we want to help you, but it's not that it's someone who is following the principles and someone who isn't following the principles are on the same level. There's a difference.
These ideals also that you talked about, unfortunately, they must be a very small percentile in ISKCON, quite frankly.
If we don't establish the ideal standard, then
nobody will follow.
Then nobody will come to it.
Nobody will follow.
Just like my wife and I, we're strict brahmacharis all the way through. For 20 years, strict brahmacharis. We never had, we completely brahmachari, every total brahmachari.
You're right. Yes. The standard isn't set as the highest standard given by Prabhupada, then nobody will follow.
Yeah, we have to, that high standard has to be there. And everyone should be instructed and encouraged to come to that standard. Now some won't make it.
That was Prabhupada's position. That's why he set only the highest standard, with the understanding that those that could not follow, at least they would still be a Vaishnava.
It's sometimes said, Maharaj, shoot for the stars and at least you'll clear the fence. If you aim for the perfectional stage and you don't quite make it, well, at least you're... If you say, okay, the standard is you can have sex whenever you want with your wife, and that's okay, so I'm just going to do that and not worry about it. That's one mood. One mood is, actually, I shouldn't have any sex except for procreation once in my life after chanting 50 rounds of japa. And if you shoot for that standard and you slip a little bit, at least you're on a higher level than if you'd embraced the first philosophy. You see? Actually, I never forget when I was a brahmachari. One householder gentleman came to me in my Miami temple. His wife was there also. He came up to me and said, you know, last night my wife and I, we chanted 50 rounds of japa, you know, for having a child. And we got so high on the mantra, we said, let's wait till next month. They were so high on the mantra, they said, why should we come down to the level of, you know, genitals, you know? Why don't we, this is so sweet, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this, their realization is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. He has very nicely stated, Tundate Tandamani Vateng Vitanate Tundavali Labdiye Karna Krodha Kadamani Gatayate Kunarvya Debras Priham Cheta Prangana Sangani Vijayate Sarvani Randam Krutim No Jani Janita Kriyadvim Amritai Krishneti Varnidvai. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna has produced. Because when I utter Krishna, it dances on my tongue. And when it is dancing on my tongue, there is so much nectar that I need to have millions of mouths to conquer that nectar. And when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, it's so unbelievably nectarian. I must have millions and billions of ears. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So how does that compare with a sexual orgasm? A sexual orgasm is nothing compared to Krishna. That's what we have to preach. We train our devotees that Krishna is better than 10 billion orgasms. And they will think, why do I want to mess around with some 10th class pleasure when I can just go Krishna and get the ultimate orgasm at every minute? You understand? We have to train them properly, that's all. This is the supreme orgasm. Krishna! Everyone understand? Is this a question or what?
It's in Hindi.
It's Hindi. You see my point? Yeah.
The question is, many devotees say that their children should become the sons. They should become brahmacharis. They should not henceforward marry, because if they marry, then they will be entangled, and then we cannot execute bhakti. So hence, what should we conclude? Should any priyastha not send his sons to the temple?
They're afraid if I send, should any grihastha not send their son to the temple for fear of his
becoming brahmachari?
Actually, Vedic culture means every boy must be brahmachari. That's Vedic culture. And but brahmachari life doesn't mean you have to be a sannyasi.
Mataji ka prashna ye kaha jaane bheja hai.
Brahmachari life is a training ground both for the attached and the detached. Take Brahmachari training. How have I been a perfect Brahmachari as a married man for 20 years? Because I took my 14 years of Brahmachari training very seriously. So whether you want to be grihastha or you want to be sannyasi, in either case, Brahmachari is the training to become a perfect grihastha or a perfect sannyasi. Any other questions? Yes.
Guruji, you mentioned that by deviating from the principles given by Prabhupada, we offend him.
It's an offense against Prabhupada to deviate, yes.
What are the other ways that we can offend Prabhupada that we should avoid?
To disobey the order, that includes everything. To disobey Prabhupada's instructions is the one thing, and that includes everything.
So, Prabhupada question ye tha ki aapne bataya ki Prabhupada ke aagya jo hai agar hum vanchit ho jaye to isse jo Prabhupada ke prati apradh kar rahe hain aur koi tarika hai Prabhupada ke prati apradh karne ka?
If you disobey his instructions and you think he's an ordinary man, you have to accept that Prabhupada is as good as God. His words carry the same authority as the instructions of Krishna. That's what you have to accept. Otherwise, you're an offender. Any other questions? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, we should obey the authority. If he is violating Prabhupada teaching.
No. Radha Krishna, I'm telling you to come here to tell me in my ear. Okay, go ahead.
To promote this philosophy, we should obey the authority to discipline the temple environment. If authority is not obeying the Prabhupada's principles, so we should violate it.
You're saying that the people in authority, they are violating, should we violate them?
If your authority is deviating, what to do? This happened when Prabhupada was here also. There was one lady from Japan. She was a what do they call a con artist. She told the devotees that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. The devotees, including the temple president who was a sannyasi, were totally convinced that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. So this sannyasi gave up sannyas order and he married her. And she became like the queen. They used to fan her with a chamra during the class.
Class.
And she was having them offer eggs to the deities, Radha Govinda. Preps with eggs in them are being offered to Radha Govinda under her order. And the devotees were thinking, this is our temple authorities, what we can do? We have to follow the authorities. Prabhupada did not like that attitude, that blind following of the authority. The authority may be deviating. That does not mean that you should deviate. You should read the books, you should know the books, and you should follow the books, even if your authority is not following the books. I've seen so many problems. There was one authority who was having sex with the Brahmacharinis. See, we don't blindly follow these authorities. Authority means that person who is strictly following Prabhupada, he is authority. We do follow our temple authorities. We respect them because they are following Prabhupada. That's why we respect them. If they are deviating, tell the GBC. If the GBC is deviating, tell the executive committee. If that doesn't work, tell me about it. I'll see what I can do. I'm serious. Any other questions? Yeah.
This is a question. It's like a paradox. What happens if somebody doesn't want to follow the system? So the first delegation levels.
The echo makes it impossible. Tell me about that.
It's a paradox, Maharaj. Like when somebody doesn't want to follow a system, doesn't want to be part of a system, the first allegation levels that the authorities are not following.
Right.
So what is the minimum standards when you can say that the authority may think differently than what you think? What are the standards?
The standard is no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. That's the standard. The authority is standing 16 rounds and following these principles. You have to respect them. Different authorities have different moods. So we have to understand that. It's not that we're robots. Everyone has a personality, and one likes to manage in this way, other likes to manage in that way. Doesn't mean it's a deviation. If they're following the principles and chanting, we respect their authority. Any other questions? Yeah.
Maharaj mentioned about presenting. Maharaj mentioned about that people are giving opinions on the system, but the masses will like that. What is popular? What will be liked by the people? So, So my question is, we may not be deviating exactly, but how right is it to dilute the philosophy so that the people in general may accept it? Deluding the philosophy. I'm not saying we are deviating exactly, but it is not the exact philosophy that Prabhupada has written. Sometimes I find that authorities tell us to dilute the philosophy, present it to the masses, not exactly as Prabhupada has written in Bhagavatam purports. So they say present it to the masses, we have to dilute it.
He's saying the philosophy as such presented by Prabhupada, in order to take them to the masses, sometimes we need
take
to
them to where?
Take them to the people, masses.
Masses, okay.
Yeah. So we may need to sometimes dilute, not exactly deviating.
The message is never diluted. The message is never diluted. But It is presented according to time, place, and audience.
You
can study conversations of Srila Prabhupada, in which he never says the word Krishna, he only talks about God. Was Prabhupada diluting the philosophy? No, he was just speaking according to a certain audience. That is not diluting the philosophy. According to the particular circumstance, you inject Krishna consciousness in the most powerful and effective way according to that moment. That is not diluting. That is Deshakala Patra, it is called in Sanskrit. Yeah.
One thing to add, Maharaj. The entire Isha Upanishad doesn't mention the word Hare Krishna Mahamantra once.
Which who?
And entire Isha Upanishad book doesn't mention
Isha Upanishad.
Yeah, doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. In Isha Upanishad, Krishna's name is never mentioned, but yet Prabhupada gave us that book.
Like, no, that Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not there.
Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not anywhere in any purport.
Entire page.
Yeah. Yeah, but that Isha Upanishad is very important because that establishes the personality of Godhead. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now?
Still one hand up.
Hand up? Okay.
Sometimes we see that the authorities are not authorities are deviating, but our perception can be mistaken.
Yeah, they can. It could be your own mental concoction that they're deviating.
So, is that a Vaishnava? She's asking. Is that a Vaishnava? She's asking.
If you are, if you think such and such, so and so is deviating, and that's just your mental concoction, yes, that's an offense against that person. That's right. So one should be very careful before you think that somebody is deviating. One should be very careful before we ever think such a thing. Even if someone is deviating, you should see their good qualities, their wonderful saintly qualities that they are devotee. You should see their... The only person who is qualified to correct someone is the person who can appreciate the good in someone. So we have to love and appreciate all the Vaishnavas. And if someone is deviating, we want to help them. We don't want to destroy them. We want to help them.
Yes, this issue of being very... it's good that you're making this point that about being extremely conservative before making any kind of accusation.
That's right.
Of deviation. This is a very, very essential point. Otherwise, the movement will be destroyed by false accusations and defamation backed by the
audience.
That's right. So, ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है कि किसी भी भक्त के प्रति आरोप लगाने से पहले बहुत सावधानी से सोच विचार करके बात करनी चाहिए अन्यथा जो है पूरा आंदोलन जो है एक आरोप लगाएगा दूसरा पलट के आरोप लगाएगा ऐसी
What is the first offense against the holy name? To blaspheme or criticize those devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the Krishna consciousness movement. So we have to always worship the Vaishnavas. Even Prabhupada's, even according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a third class devotee who is arrogant and angry, even such a devotee must be respected. So we can never disrespect a Vaishnava, even if he's third class, low class Vaishnava. Every devotee must always be respected. Any other question?
No.
Yes, Maharaj.
To determine these things properly, Prabhupada has given us the check and balance, and Shastra gives the check and balance system. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra.
That's right.
By properly applying Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, poisonous or defamatory speculations should be avoided. That's a check and balance. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So the body, that's what senior devotees who know the philosophy and trust that they are the Sadhu, not the neophyte whose head is full of bubbles.
The worst
poison happens when the neophytes are just talking for japa and fault finding with their friends and relatives, etc., and not reverencing Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, because they don't read the Shastra. And they don't consult with Sadhu. They go with their own speculations.
Right.
Thus they find fault, and then they make apparat, and then they may certainly...
And they killed... That's right. They blew. They fall down, that's right. If one blasphemes a devotee, you kill your own devotional life. That's right. It is mentioned in Prabhupada's purport that you must build an iron fence, a steel fence around the garden of your heart to protect against Vaishnava Parab. Every devotee is worshipable. This is confirmed by Krishna in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata na me bhakta shtate janaha mad bhaktanam chige bhaktas te me bhakta matamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee.
Adi Purana.
But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So we must always be devoted to Krishna's devotees. If you're not a devotee of Krishna's devotees, you're not a devotee of Krishna. You're simply a devotee of your own rascal mind. Therefore, we bow down at the feet of the Vaishnavas. Vanchakapatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnaveva namo namaha. So I think we've gone a little over time today, but it's been worth it. We got some nice points from Maharaj. I appreciate them very much. And we thank you all very much for your kind hearing, and we have some special Mahaprasad of Sri Sri Radhadamodar for you. You come forward. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.